You're listening to Have Mike, Will Travel with Elizabeth Santry.
Hey, welcome to the show. Today's guest is singer-songwriter Matt Santry. I stopped by his house, which is also his workspace. We talk through a lot of topics, and I think one thing that's really interesting is Matt's perspective as being self-taught and being a student, as well as being a teacher. Thanks for listening.
All right. Well, thanks for having me in your home. Well, your home is also your studio, so it's two reasons why to have me here. But this should be the easiest interview in terms of research. I've spent many a year, moons, researching and knowing what it is that you're up to. So this is the Santry Show right now. Okay, so let's get started. You happened to just say in passing when I got here that you were working on a melody in the shower. And that is that a place that you often feel you get inspiration?
Not typically, but when I have a melody, I like to get it actually on my phone right away.
So and what do you mean get it on your phone? Do you actually...
It's like the voice memo.
Oh, okay, okay. So you record it. Okay, cool.
Yeah. But instead, I just grab my guitar and I could visually remember the melody.
Oh, really?
On the neck.
Okay.
It's just, you know, something that helps you, you know, bookmark.
Right. I'm not surprised. I like when people talk about how they use a different sense. You know, you'd think typically you make music that you would just be always just using your ears, but here you are talking about using something visual to help you make sound. That's cool. So speaking of, you know, space and environment, like where you find, like where do you find inspiration, like geographically, like is there a space? Are you sensitive to space? Like what is your favorite space to work?
It's tough here because we don't have a lot of room.
In your apartment.
Yeah, I think it's more when I have space in my life. You know what I mean? Like when things calm down, it's a lot easier to write.
Okay, so you're talking about mental space?
Yeah, I mean, it's both. It too. Like if you have, I don't know, we call it feng shui or whatever, if you go into a really busy room, or it's hard to think straight.
So, yeah.
You know, do the best with what I can do with this limited amount of space I have right now. But, yeah, I think it's more about just mental space.
Okay. So that's not so physical space is not such a big deal.
Well, it would help if I had it, but I just don't have it. Right
yeah,
now.
For sure. I mean, making do with what you... I mean, I think that's what I will lead into the next question is when you're talking with people who do full-time what they do, you really have to make it work with what you have. But I wanted to talk about... with you is the dimension of passion versus profit and like how you make it. So you, when you're doing something that you love, how do you keep loving it if you're trying to make a living at it? And what is that, what's that journey like as an artist?
It's a good question because when I was a social worker, or take it back even further, when I was in college, you know, and I was going to school and I was working part-time, music was always a way to decompress and unwind, even as soon as I picked up the guitar.
Okay.
You know, and then when I got out of college, started working full time, I felt like my job was mentally and emotionally draining because I was a social worker,
right?
So again, music was like, oh, I can't wait to get to, you know, songwriting or performance or whatever.
The thing to look forward to
but yeah, it was, the thing that I was passionate about most. And then when it became, when I had to monetize it, I think it slowly started to poison the well.
Yeah, of course. I think that is part of the journey and finding out how to make, so how do you make that work?
Well, I'm actually, what I've done recently is kind of had a project where I'm accountable to other people.
Okay.
So it's like, it's forcing me to write new material, get in the studio, and deliver, you know, new content every month because people gave me money to do it, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like a Kickstarter, I did it from my own website and raised money from my fans, and it evolved into a project where I'm doing one new song a month exclusively for my backers. So projects like that keep me focused where, you know, right now it's summertime, I'm in gig mode, I'm playing 4 or 5, sometimes 6 nights a week, playing covers in bars, and it's, you know, it's not that glamorous or fun, and but, you know, it's paying the bills and stay focused on what really want to do with music and what I love, this project is really helping me with that. So,
well, you touched on something right here that I think a lot of people who work for themselves or just full-time immersed in what they're doing, when you talk about, isolation. And so you said, which I would agree with, because it works with my personality as well, the being held accountable or having a community and physical connection or, you know, being out and seeing people when it's so easy to just be in the lab, the workshop, wherever it is, your studio, where isolation can occur. Mm-hmm. Have you ever dealt with that?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, and how do you work through that? Do you you just force yourself to create a situation?
I think I did it unknowingly with this project.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know, I was just like, well, I got to get money to do a new record, and then just from understanding the way music is consumed now and technology and just the way people market themselves, it just seemed like a good idea to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
I unknowingly kind of gave myself, you know, a boss.
Right. You know, yeah.
Or people to answer to.
I think that is good. Important. Structure, you know, internal or external structure to put in place. Yeah. I have just a random question about, you know, because I know you've been at this for so long. Do you still get nervous performing?
It depends on the gig.
Depends on the gig.
Yeah.
So, like, what the weight that you've put on it, or is it like, okay. So it's not about the number of people. It's about, like, how you've decided the value of, like, this is an important gig. This has to work.
Yeah, and that's always going to happen. Like, if I got called to be on, Kimmel tomorrow, like, yeah, I'd be pooping my pants.
Yeah, shit. Okay.
But, it can't be nervous doing it all the time. It's just because I don't put much stock in those gigs at this point, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You
mean the quote-unquote pay the bills one?
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't make me nervous. But, I don't know.
What is your approach towards creating your own goals and, you know, your own direction of your music? Does, like, the music take over and is it kind of organic, or do you sit down and go, no, I intend for this, to achieve this, I intend to achieve that? I guess, well, I'm asking about, like, how do you plot out the future and then how does that, you know, does it feel like, are you in love with the process or is it hard work? You know, like that, like some people can translate it as anxiety, but do you love the process or is it hard work to project and promote and dictate the future?
I love the process of creating, and what's hard work is monetizing what I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's hard work. And I'm actually working on, you know, transitioning out of that so that I don't have to, you know, perform as much as I do, and working on other streams of income. So, that's not music related, I think I should say, because, okay, you know, teaching music, done that, producing other people's music, actually really enjoy that. That's brought me some money. And
what about,
like,
that?
Singing jingles, stuff like that. Like,
right.
It's like, you know, hey, if it pays well, I don't mind it, but I'm actually looking forward to doing something on the side that has nothing to do with music necessarily.
Okay.
You know.
So go back real quick. What is it that you love about the producing, you were saying?
Well, it's just like, for me, you're still involved in a creative process, and it's you're just helping somebody shape their vision.
Okay.
And actually take their vision and make it come to life because they don't know how to do it themselves, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's great. I like production, engineering, and there's an art to the engineering as well. It's not just putting microphones on instruments or, you know.
But what's interesting, I found for me, you know, when I was younger and in my undergraduate degree studying photography, I found that there are some elements of it that can really be like engineer and science because of the chemistry aspect of photography.
Oh, totally.
And there's this huge engineering aspect of music. So sure. How do you, like, what have you seen or how do you dissect it, or, you know, how does it relate to you specifically? How do you respond? Do you see yourself as an engineer and have fun with that, or, you know, you just deal with it and make it work?
Yeah, I mean, I like most things, pick it up as I go.
Okay.
I didn't go to school for it, but you know, you can get to a point to make things functional with enough knowledge that, you know, just by doing.
Okay.
And, you know, somebody would, you know, frown at that, call you a jack of all trades, master of none.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. But at the same time, I've been able to learn how to get really good sounds and how to do a lot of the engineering work that I would wind up paying tens of thousands of dollars if I didn't, you know. So.
Oh, you mean hiring out to do?
Yeah. Do I consider myself like a master engineer? No, but I consider myself a solid one.
Yeah.
And I consider do what I need to do. You know, I can get the sounds I need to get, and I know how to do that.
Okay. But, so that touches on, you know, I think we're in a really dynamic place in history, politically, economically, in this country, and a lot of times people talk about whether or not it's worth going to school, and you're somebody that self-taught, and what's that been like? Have you had to deal with criticism of people not or appreciating what you can do, or are they saying, or is it the other way around, like, you know, good for you, just went out there and took it by the reins and you know, figured out what you needed to do to get your vision across.
Well, it's like, has anyone ever asked you for a resume to take their picture or to interview them or to, you know what I mean? Like,
well, no, I'm not going to lie. There is a reaction when I'm talking to people, and if I tell them that I was trained to do it, you can see it in their face a little bit of like, oh, okay, this person knows what they're talking about. Now, I could,
maybe, but
for all you know, I could have slept through the entire program
and got put it this way.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's put it this way. If you have a well-known brand, they're going to ask where you went to school.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to school? No one's going to ask if you went to school for journalism.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, are you delivering a product? And do I know about it? And does it have credibility?
Yeah.
So that's what it comes down to for me. Like,
yeah.
I've never been asked if I went to music school.
Really? Never? That's interesting.
For being hired for a gig.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not relevant.
No. I think that's cool. I think that's really cool are in a position where your art can speak for yourself, because I do know people who, you know, who didn't go to school, and you can sometimes see that they often wonder what it would have been like if they had. You know, I think there's an argument for either side. I don't think there's a right or wrong way.
Well, I mean, I knew at that point in time, like, I'm into rock music. I don't want to go to school.
Yeah.
I think it would be a waste of time to go to college to be a rock music, you know, musician, to, you know, go over to the bar across the street where I play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't care if I went to school or not. They want to know, hey, you know, are you going to keep people drinking, or are you going to bring in some business for us?
Right.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Know? Same thing with engineering. It's not like, oh, did you go to school for engineering? It's like, here is a reel of stuff that I've done. Oh, cool. Okay.
You know? That's cool.
And how did that start? Just doing it myself on my, you know, on my own music.
Well, because I know you, I actually know that you do have a handful of people that sort of, you know, look at you and get excited and say, oh, man, you're living the dream. You know, because you get to do music all day, and I think there's plenty of people that wish they could, but I'm sure there's another side to that, you know, the reality. And do you feel like you're living the dream, or?
Well, that's my sarcastic way of answering. How you doing? Living the dream every day.
Yeah.
I remember feeling the same way before I was doing it full time, and go, oh wow, like this dude, what do you have Mondays off? That is so awesome. And I made a point when I first quit my day job to sleep in till at least noon every Monday, just because
just to relish it.
Yeah,
it's like that's
cool. I you know, I'd walk into the school at 8:30 in the morning on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh God, you know.
Yeah.
I'm so tired.
So that is a lead into the next. Oh, I was gonna
it's
say.
I don't know. It's all relative.
Yeah. So that goes back into my next question about success. Like, how do you define it? In this present moment, not like in the beginning days. Like, how right now? You've been at this for a really long time. And
how do I define success?
Yeah, in your craft, in your picture.
For me, it'd just be doing more of what I love, less of what I, you know, I'm not crazy about, and being financially rewarded. And what does that mean? That means enough that to support a family, you know, on an income.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, it's relative, but I think that it says a lot for, you know, to be able to support a family, you know, want income on something that you really enjoy doing. I think that's a huge success.
So it sounds like a little bit what you're saying is you get to a point where the work life is not the big picture. It becomes the home life, and that the work life can support the home life. I guess as you get older, that's what you want to invest in, to maintain a home life, that the bills are paid and everyone's taken care of, and that your work can do that.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's
well, yeah, I mean, there's always that aspect. You want to be recognized for what you do. You want people to appreciate what you do. If you're an artist, people have to receive your art in order for it to matter, you know?
But that's what I think is so subjective about the question, because you could easily ask someone else that and they would say, you know, having my painting in a museum, is that, that's success to me. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, well, I always said from when I started, like, just to make a living doing it, but making a living, you have to define what that means.
Okay.
Because I am making a living, you know.
Right.
I haven't had, you know, I haven't worked for anyone else in 9 years.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm doing it, but I would like to make more.
Right, you know what I mean? Right. So you said before that music started off being a hobby. Now music is your full-time gig. Do you now have a hobby that isn't music that did for you what music used to do in terms of stress release?
Yeah, right now it's running.
Okay.
Which is, I would have never predicted, because I couldn't run a mile in high school because my asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I want to get into anything professional with that. I'm doing another half marathon next month, but... Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I want to do a full one, you know?
Really?
Oh, it's even this, just, it's really time consuming just to train for this.
Okay.
But, you know, it is a good way to relieve stress.
Right. And also I love to talk about the brain and the body and all that stuff in a literal form and what you have to do to maintain it. And so what's running done for you? Like, has it changed any of your creativity, like your energy wise? Like,
oh yeah. When I'm running consistently, like, I would say 6 or more miles a day, it's like an antidepressant. You know?
That's what I've heard people say.
Yeah, it really makes a huge difference in my mood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're selling it to me, honestly, because I don't run much, but, you know, I like to hike, but yeah, I can see the benefits. And any other form of... I mean, that's in the category of exercise. I like to ask people what they do. Is running it for you, or do you do other forms of exercise?
Yeah, I like to do strength training. I like to bike. Speaking of which, my bike needs to get fixed.
Okay, good. But, write that down.
But, yeah. So strength training, biking, running.
And then
I'm trying to swim, because I would love to do a triathlon, but I am horrible at swimming.
Okay.
I do like 2 laps and I get totally winded.
Okay.
I'm working on that.
Okay. And so how does diet play into, like, I mean, obviously if you're burning a lot of calories, you have to eat, but like, I want to know about how it affects your brain. Do you see the difference in like eating and what it can do for you?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when I'm on a kick where I'm getting home late, you know, 4, 5, 6 nights a week. And I just, it's very easy to eat garbage.
You know,
your only option is Wawa.
Yeah.
So.
And do you have any tricks or things that you do? I know you have to feel like your voice is your product and it's got to be like very important. Is there things that you do for that? To maintain it, to strengthen it, to, you know what I mean? Like, what's
the... I mean, you just have to be healthy overall.
Overall.
You know? And I know a lot of people that sing for their supper and they don't take care of their voice. They'll take every gig that comes their way. And, you know, I stopped doing that a while ago. You know, I can't play 2 shows a night. And
because
we're not talking about like, oh, I did a set, you know, I did 10 songs. It's like, no, you're doing 3 hours of material and then you're going to go do that twice. So you're going to go sing for 6 hours in a day. Like,
mm-hmm.
that is really dumb, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So things like that, just to be smart about it, you got to get enough rest. So, I mean, that's kind of it, you know?
Yeah. So back to music, I was curious, do you think, like, that music and rhythm and all that stuff can be taught? Like, what do you feel like there's a portion of it that you're just born with that can't be taught, or is it all teachable? Like, where do you stand on that argument?
I think that's like a philosophical question almost, because, I mean, you went to art school, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you went to learn how to do a certain skill?
Or
they were teaching you how to be creative? I mean, that's
in
what,
school,
you know.
Well, the critique, and yeah, and also the vocabulary. I think it's really important to be able to communicate to people, or even to yourself or to someone else, what it is that you're trying to achieve. So I think that, I mean, if you are asking from my perspective as going to art school what it's done to be an artist, it's... being able to gain some perspective, being shown other people's opinions, and then trying to get some critical thinking about what your opinion is, as well as, and then I'm trying
but
to hone
in. But
do
they teach you to be creative?
Yeah. Well, I should say cultivate. I'm sorry. I felt like I was given a space. And so this is the space, you know, mentally, physically, and emotionally, I guess you could even say. Like, this is the space in which others create. Now you give it a try and see what comes out of it. Kind of like puts you into this box. I mean, for me, it was literally the dark room and things like that. But being thrown things. And then there's structure, you know. And all, like having to have work done at a certain time and a deadline and then critique it. So, yeah, but the thing is that I'm asking about is like, yeah, I guess, I don't know, rhythm. Because to me, it's elusive because I don't play any instruments and I don't know how to read music. And I'm sure reading music is something that can be taught, like a language.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty sure it sits in the same part of your brain that language and music, because I stink at trying to absorb another language. And it's really hard for me. I would love to be able to speak another language. Does reading music feel like another language to you? No?
No.
Maybe because you don't realize how awesome it is. Maybe you don't. Well, you know, I would kill for that.
I learned to do it when I was a kid, and then I didn't look at it for 20 some years, and then mm-hmm. I picked it up again when I was teaching mm-hmm. Guitar and piano.
Mm-hmm.
I just think what it comes down to is everyone's born with a different capacity.
Okay.
You know, so how much can you fill that cup?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know some musicians that are just like freaks of nature. I don't understand, like, their capacity is, you know, incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I spent 8 hours a day, you know, practicing, like, I just don't feel like I could
mm-hmm.
understand or, you know, perform in that way that some of these guys I know can. But I don't worry about that, you know. Mm-hmm. I focus on, you know, being a songwriter, being a performer, being a singer, and I let the musicians be the expert at, you know, their instruments.
So you did teach for a while. What is the experience of teaching? What did that do for you as a songwriter? You know, so you're teaching the basics, or you're going through, like, did it ever, you know, were there moments where you kind of hit home?
Oh, no, it's actually, it was huge for me, because I was pretty much self-taught. And then when I got in my 30s, I was just, I don't know, something sparked. I was like really just interested in learning theory and understanding what I was doing more so. And then when I was, you know, when I began to teach, I was like, well, obviously I need to know what I'm doing if I'm going to be teaching,
right,
you know, other people. And so that whole process, impacted me hugely, because, understanding theory, going back to sight reading, picking up a new instrument like piano,
mm-hmm.
learning to sight sing, solfege. Like, these are the kind of things that I don't know how, you know, I wrote songs before I understood all that. It kind of like, you know, to break the rules, you have to understand what the rules are.
Right, I do agree with that.
And I was breaking rules, but I didn't know what I was doing. So now I feel like I'm just so much stronger of a writer and musician because of my understanding and experience, as opposed to even 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So at one point, I know it maybe you even still do, you were doing sort of a musical therapy kind of thing, and you were working with autistic children and using music as like a communication tool. Like, what did you take away from that experience?
Well, it's just so much of a different thing. I think when a songwriter performs their material, I think they can kind of be selfish in a way, like it's about them and it's their experience. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you have a totally different experience where you're trying to, you know, use music as therapy, it has nothing to do with you, you know?
Okay.
And I think that was cool to experience, because as an artist, you get inside your head and, you know, not really understanding that this is an experience for everyone in the audience. It's not just about you. And I think when I was starting out, I was more in my own head. So I think that having such a completely different experience made me connect with, you know, audience now and understand, like, you know, I want to make sure that when people come to this show, like, they're having a great time, and you know, this was really a great experience for them. And then what all the stuff that entails, like, from your body language on stage to, you know.
Well, some people have really powerful reactions to music and have, like, you know, and so some people consider it almost like spiritual. It can be. It can be really, you know, it can affect the brain and the body in really powerful ways. Are you a spiritual person? How do you spell that?
E-H-H? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely like, you know, you get in a moment, and you kind of feel like you're transcending, you know, you're like not in your body like that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, you can get that from a lot of different things.
So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't asking specifically for music if, like, you know, you have necessarily a spiritual connection to music. Just in general, do you have a spiritual appreciation for things? Because I think it would probably, like you just said, could come back and actually show itself in the music.
I don't know if you call it spiritual. It's maybe respect. I don't know. Appreciation.
Okay. But gratitude, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. I like the idea of, like, when's the last time you did something for the first time, you know, and that can be a habit, or it can just be an experience. I think it just keeps you awake and alive. I like those ideas. So is there something you did for the first time recently that kind of just put you in awe of yourself? Or
I don't know. I think that happens anytime you're trying to learn something new.
You
know?
Yeah.
So, like, the swimming thing this year, like, trying to, the humbling experience of trying to learn freestyle.
Yeah, for sure. And that's cool. All right, well, I really appreciate you having me. I picked your brain, tried to treat you like I didn't know you. Thanks again.
You're listening to Have Mike, Will Travel with Elizabeth Santry.